And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, September the 25th, 2021. It is Season 15, Episode 32. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Wendy.
There we go. The gang's all here. And we're going to have a camera for Wendy here next week. We're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We almost got it done. I don't know what happened with my time, but it got weird on me.
Mm-hmm.
I say it got weird on me. It got... I don't know. We got here with plenty of time.
Distractions, dinner, something to do with work here.
No. I mean, there was nothing out of the ordinary.
Time slip.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it was. I don't know. But, yeah, we tried to do a camera with Wendy today and finally got it working, but then didn't really have enough time to get everything set up, get the angle correct. Why does it sound like I'm in a... Does it sound like I'm... coming out of an echo or something? I don't know what that is. Yeah,
that's me.
Okay. There we go. That's better.
Much better.
There it is. It was your guys' mics. Had yours so loud, I guess it was picking
everything
me up,
yeah.
More in that than it was in there. Okay. We'll learn this eventually. Yeah. I'll be saying that probably 50 episodes down the line. Well, we'll get there. We're learning. So anyway.
We've been saying that for double-digit years.
I mean, we've been doing, yeah, really, since we've been upstairs, it's the same thing, so. I don't know, usually in a new place or semi-new, and like, I'm in this room 5 days a week, but I'm not back here behind the board 5 days a week. Just 1 day a week am I behind the board doing all this stuff, so yeah, it kind of throws me off. But, nonetheless, we are here ready to talk to you about some video games. If you want to get in touch with us and talk to us about some video games, well, wow, we already got somebody doing that. Call us at 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can also find us on Facebook. That way you can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. You can watch us. You'll be able to see Wendy next week, but you can watch us today. Go to twitch.tv, then type in game chat into the search bar. You'll find us. Best thing, and I've said this many times, just go to our website, ingamechat.net. Scroll all the way to the bottom. There's a link. Boom. Click it. You're right there. I think there's a link on our Twitter page if you want to find us there, or on our Facebook page. There's links all the way so you can watch us. And then, of course, we got Discord going on as well, and you can join us in our Discord again. Go to our website. Scroll all the way to the bottom. All the links are right there for you. Yeah, I don't play video games. I only play Destiny. Yeah, that's true.
There's other stuff mixed in here and there.
Because that is all I played this week. It's just Destiny, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think I played an hour of it on Tuesday, maybe? Or was it Wednesday? It was Tuesday or Wednesday. I think I played maybe an hour of it. And
so it wasn't both?
No, it wasn't. Not okay. Back to back.
Okay.
I rarely go back to back during the week and play. But on the weekends, of course, my Saturday mornings, my Sunday mornings, playing Destiny, so which is what I did this morning. Mm. So, yeah. Yeah, that's actually all I played. So there you go. But yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, those are the phone numbers, and that's how you can do it as well. And welcome to the show, everybody. So, you already know what I played. Wendy, did you play? Do you play anything this week? Wait, I'm sorry. I had you off when you were answering the phone. Sorry.
Okay. I played more Necro Barista.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit. It's a lot of reading. That's about all I did. And of course, the cookies.
How many cookies you got yet?
I'm almost at the sextillion.
Sextillion?
Sextillion.
Okay. Goodness.
Not quite, but by the time we get home, I should be.
Should you? Are you going to be there?
I should be. Wow.
Well, if you, yeah, yes. If you, I guess if you pop your wrinklers, you should.
Yeah, yeah. I popped them before we left. So.
Oh, okay. See,
yeah.
I let mine coalesce this morning.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I popped the ones when I first woke up, and then I let them rebuild and just left them there. So I'll pop them again when I get home.
I like for my wigglers to reach quintillion.
How do you know, though?
I'll pop one.
Oh, just to see.
And then it's like, I know if I can, you know, proceed or if I should just, you know, gotcha. let them continue.
Yeah. Yeah. I did that too. I played it's just something you leave up. It's an idle game, and that's what it is. Mm-hmm. My goal was to get finish getting all the different buildings that you can get, you know, that produces that stuff, which I finally did this morning, got my final building. So I think I'm probably going to ascend at some point here very soon.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I might do that tomorrow or something. But that's so Necro Barista. Did you get any further into that? I mean, what's the progression? How do you progress in the game?
A lot of reading, and then you're trying to find your way, you know, to find the next clue or to find the next, basically find the next clue.
Oh, okay.
You know, to let you know where to go.
We're just telling you basically a story, basically, right?
It's basically
a story.
It's one of those narrative games. What do they call them?
Visual novel.
Visual novel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I was looking for. Visual novel.
Yeah. You'll get to the end eventually. Just keep plugging away.
Yeah, Lethal Migraine says, I have played nothing. Didn't feel like video games this week. Should have grinded MLB, though. It has been double XP all week. Speaking of that, what have you been playing, RJ?
Speaking of which, exactly.
MLB because of the double XP? Okay.
Yeah, double XP on that. That was last week doing all that. I think they got a new inning session. So I guess like new season in Destiny will be a new inning in MLB The Show. They started the 7th inning program. So
how long do the innings last?
That's a good question. I think it's about
Is it a three-month thing? Oh, it's a month.
It didn't feel like a long time between 6th and 7th inning to me. It didn't feel that way to me anyway.
Like whenever an inning comes around, do you have certain objectives for that?
Yeah, it's basically levels you get to. Level 1 to level, what's the max, 30-something? I don't think I've ever got the max in an inning. I haven't played enough yet. But you get packs and benefits and perks and equipment for your player that you make, things like that, and you just get benefits as you keep going forward. And with double XP, like Migraine said, it doesn't take any time at all. All you got to play is like a few games, and bam, you got another level. Mm-hmm. Especially at the beginning, it's really beneficial when you get near the end, before you max out. And if I'm wrong in the chat room, I think it's 30 levels to it. But you get a lot of good stuff on the way to the max, the way to the end of the
program. So once you hit the max of 30 levels, it just stays that way until the next inning rolls around and everybody gets reset to zero?
I would guess so. Like I said, I never maxed out before, but I would imagine that's what it would be. There's no more to get after that.
Well,
other than just XP for the next time around, I guess.
But even if you've never maxed out before, your level gets reset every season.
It resets every inning, yeah. So
seventh
inning just started, so it's going to be a minute for eighth inning starts. And matter of fact, I'm trying to see what they're going to do for after the ninth inning. We're going to go to extra innings, or is that going to be another movie, The Show, coming out? I doubt it. No, probably not.
Well, they won't make it. I mean, if they're doing it monthly, it's not going to make it to 9 innings.
No,
but they could easily go either extra innings to fill it out until they need to, or
they could call it playoffs or something else or whatever.
Maybe,
do something else. But it's a reason to keep going and keep playing, really. So, yeah. I'll be doing that. Finally, went around to playing Road to the Show. But what I've been doing mostly is like franchise mode, playing that way. But you get XP either way. But or a little online player, a little Diamond Dynasty with your manufactured team of players that you get from packs or whatever. Make compile a team of your best players that you open up from packs and whatnot. Start playing that. But I finally opened up Road to the Show. I just started playing that mode. Recently, in this year's incarnation of the show, so I'm just going from there, trying to see what's what, see the mini games that they got going on in there. I mean, it says go to the like one of the mini games got me. It says go to the batting cage, but your player just sits there with a phone playing a game on an app, and that simulates batting cage practice. Apparently,
okay,
it's just a timing issue. Match up the PCI, the plate coverage indicator called the PCI, that little orb in front of the strike zone that you determine where the ball is. Just move that in front of the ball and hit the X button to time it right and get points and whatever. Higher points you get, the more stats your creative player gets through the game. So, doing that much.
All right.
Yeah. So, other than that, more GTA Online. Still doing that Cayo Perico heist. For me right now, it's still the best way for me to get money.
Dude, with the counterfeit and the drugs.
Counterfeit some drugs and fake documents and cocaine, marijuana, all that good stuff. So robbing this drug lord on his private island for $1 million or $1.5 million per run. So, yeah, only costs $25,000 to start the heist, but you get $1 million, $1.5 million per run.
Right.
So I can live with that. I can make profit off of that. So, yeah, but other than that, that's pretty much all I've been playing this week.
Yeah, we looked at a game. We looked at a couple of games, actually, that I picked up from, Tiny Build sent me a copy of Potion Craft.
Mm-hmm.
It's a...
Sounds like chemistry.
It is. Yeah. It's like not an alchemy simulator, but like... Your alchemy shop owner is what you are. And so people come in and they say, I need this. Well, basically, and this is from what I was curious as to how it played before I installed it, because and Wendy was as well. So he was like, oh, let's watch a little review of it, see what it looks like.
Okay.
What's
the name of it again?
Potion Craft,
okay.
Yeah, and so we were, I'd been seeing it pop up in my news feeds and stuff, like, oh, Potion Craft, I think it's in early access.
Okay.
And I'm sort of, we talked about this, like the early access type of things where if it's a multiplayer thing, I get it. You're trying to iron out the stuff and you're kind of beta testing it like that. But if it's a single player, like it's got a set sort of thing, and I don't necessarily know that this has. This may be a procedurally generated type situation where it's all right. Different every time. But... When it's like a single player type of mode, I don't want to play it in early access. I want to play it when it's finished.
Yeah.
Because if I go through it one way and then you release it and it looks better, or we eliminated that a frustrating thing that you had to do for ever how many times or whatever the case may be, I want to be there for that. I want to be there for when you've got it the way you want it for everybody to play. And we've talked about it before. I got to do that. Now, we talked about it before, but you can support them. You can still pay for it and then support them and then just not play it until it's ready.
Right.
You know? I don't know that I want to do that. I'm kind of curious about it. So basically, you own a shop and you can craft potions and that sort of thing. You've got different sort of ingredients to pick from and everything else. Somebody will come in and they will talk about a particular problem that they have. And you have to pick the right potion for it, whether they need health or whether they need, I don't know, a number of different potions. It'll become clear once you find the potions you need.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to figure out the recipe for that potion. The people who come and place that order, they'll stay there forever. They're not going to go away while you try to find out what the recipe is.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you do that, the gaming part of this is interesting enough. There's a map, and you hover over some ingredients... And that'll show you in which direction you're going to move on that map. So if you want to go left, you'll pick whatever that ingredient is. But if you wanted to go right, you'll pick the other ingredient. You grind it down, you put it in the pot, you stir it up, you move over to that area. As you do, it kind of clears this fog of war as it is, kind of like mm-hmm. civilization sort of thing, as you yeah. do, it clears out this stuff and you can see where potions are. You don't necessarily know what they are, but you can see where they're at on the board and then try and get there. Once you get there, you squeeze the, what is that thing called where you push air into the fire? Little accordion looking thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know you know what it is.
I wish we had a camera on Wendy, but we don't. She's doing hand gestures. It's like, what's up with this? No, that's Brutus the Barber Beefcake. You know what I'm talking about there, right?
You know exactly. We know bellows.
That sounds right.
Bellows. Yeah.
Bellows. That sounds right.
A pair of bellows. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just put fire blower accordion in the search thing, and that's the first thing that came up. So yeah, bellows. That's the name of it.
Man. So yeah, you do that and all of a sudden the potion gets revealed to you, whether it be a health potion, a love potion, you know, a bunch of different things that it could be. Yeah. Once you have it there, you know how then to make that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can continue to make that forever. You don't have to scour the map to do so. Mm-hmm. But as you do, you can scour the map and you get all these potions in your inventory.
Mm-hmm.
So that hopefully people that come up and, you know, say, I've got this issue, and you're like, I think I know what he needs. And here you go. There you go. You make money off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. You're a shop owner and you're doing that. It's kind of neat. It's kind of laid back. There is no sort of hecticness to it. I was commenting to Wendy when I was watching it. I was like, this would be great on the Switch with like a stylus for the thing.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, you have to grind the stuff up and you have to move your mouse back and forth. Then you have to click and drag it, put it into the pot. Then you have to stir the pot, move your mouse back and forth. But you could do that with like a stylus or something like that. And then the bellows things, you could do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought there's a lot of promise here for a Switch version. And if they haven't already announced it, I'm sure that they're thinking the exact same thing. They have to be.
Yeah.
They have to be thinking this would be a good little Switch game. Because it could work as a portable type thing. It could work as a just sitting in bed, you know, relaxing on the couch. I'm making potions, whatever the case may be. Looked really kind of cool.
This is a casual, relaxed game. Yeah.
Yeah, very much. Very much. Before we go, should I do it at the end or should I do it at the beginning of the next one? I'll do it in this one.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I forgot to do this. Ooh. And, you know, hectic day and everything. There we go. All right. So, yeah, we looked at PotionCraft. We looked at another game that I downloaded. She never played it. She wanted to. She's like, download me that. And so I downloaded her that. And it was called I Am Fish.
Okay.
From the makers of I Am Bread.
I was thinking about that, yeah.
Basically,
is it as frustrating as I Am Bread?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I mean, it's the same people who did it. You are a fish, just like when you're a piece of bread, controls are not that easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to walk when you're a piece of bread.
Yeah.
It's hard to move around when you're a fish.
In a bowl
or a jar or whatever may be carrying you. It's a little hard to move around that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice little physics simulator with objectives.
Okay.
And she was all down for it. It looked frustrating as hell. I was like, I don't need that kind of complications in my gaming.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you want something with hard controls, play that a little running game, Quap.
Quap?
Yeah. You ever heard of that one?
No.
Okay. When you get a chance, look up QWOP. And just look at the unbridled rage that people have playing this game.
The same guy that made Quap also made Getting Over It, I think is what it's called.
Oh, right up your alley then, for rage-inducing games.
Getting Over It, and just to explain what that is to Wendy, you may know what it is as well.
Getting Over It?
That's the one where you're in the big pot.
You're a guy in this cauldron, big pot, right? And you got this pickaxe with you. And you use a pickaxe with the mouse to navigate the area that you're in. And the goal of the game is to get as high as you possibly can. There's a goal at the top of this map that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of traps and things that'll make you fall down to the bottom, right? But the thing that makes it aggravating, not only is the falling down aggravating, you have a voiceover from the narrator who has all these little condescending little tips and tricks and advice, things like that,
yeah.
Or they put little quotes in there to irritate you. Like, I remember one person fell down, and then this old track came on titled Going Down the Road Feeling Bad. that came on that irritated him to no end, right? And this is like the table flipping, mouse throwing, inducing game.
I mean, it's the same thing that you're going to find when you play Quap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you play Quap or you play Getting Over It, it's the same thing. It's this unconventional control scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And it's meant to be difficult.
Yeah.
Frustratingly, I think it's difficult.
I think it's mouse button only. Yeah. Mouse
on what? Getting Over?
On Getting Over.
Yeah, yeah. Quap is keyboard only.
Quap is keyboard
only. It's just, it's the letters Q, W, O, P. That's that's what you're using to move. Because the W, like, Q, like, bends a knee, and the W moves, like, the calf, and then you move in. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah. The keys control the motion of the legs running. So. When do you bend the knee? When do you thrust out? When do you bend the knee? When you thrust out? And you have to get a rhythm and a pattern down there. And if you don't do it correctly, you know, the upper body just loses all balance and you end up doing and looking like it's a contortionist on the track while trying to get up. It's after you fall down, it's pretty much over. At that point, you need to start over.
Thar 66 says, can you die by being flushed down the toilet in I Am Fish? There are numerous ways for you to die. If you break the bowl that you're in, you will die. Unless you can get to water very fast. So there's that. You can't break the bowl, jar, whatever it may be that you're in. You can't spend a lot of time out of that area, of the water. Yeah. And so that's kind of the objective, is to not break your container and to also stay in the water and get the objectives that you've got to do. Can you be flushed down a toilet? I'm not sure. Would a toilet be present? Yes. Could you survive in the toilet? I believe so. Would you die from it? I don't think so, because you're a fish, and as long as you're in water, according to this game, you're alive. Even if you're flushed down the sewer, I guess. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. They may consider it a fail state if you get flushed. Because if your objective is inside the house, then you get flushed. There's,
unless you want to make a secret stage or something.
How are you going to get back? So, that's all I can think of. Mm-hmm. Could be the case. Hey, he's waiting on hold for a while, which, I mean, he's used to, because I... just ramble on. But Chris is on the line. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Not much. What's going on with you, man?
Playing more Diablo 2.
The old remastered edition.
Yeah. And not only that, I picked it up and started playing it. I've been playing Tales of Arise, and now I got time to play this one. And I looked at the Nintendo Direct recently and
we're gonna talk about that. Don't go into it. We're gonna talk about it because I do want to talk about it with RJ, of course.
Did y'all ever play one of the old games on Super Nintendo?
You're gonna talk about Actraiser?
Yes. Lord have mercy. Thank you a lot, Nintendo, Sony, or actually SquareSoft. Now I got this. I got Diablo play Metroid's around the corner, and now oh my god, I gotta play this now too.
I hit up Discord because I had it. I was watching it while I was doing my exercise. Anyway, finished my exercise, so I took the iPad with me that was showing that, and I went and I sat down in front of the computer to do the other stuff I needed to do, and I have it in front of me. And they mentioned that, and I immediately went to Discord and I said I was not expecting a rematch. Not only that, but at the end of it, when it said, "Hey, it's available now," wasn't expecting that at all.
Yes. I was completely surprised, like, huh?
I know. I recognize the music because we've used it many times. Way back when I didn't change music at all, we had that for bumper music for the longest time. So I remember that. I was just really, really surprised by that. And I thought, man, there's so many people happy about that. So, there was no warning. There was nothing, was there? There wasn't even a hint that this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That I know of.
And I had no idea. I was completely taken back and surprised by it, which I'm glad they did that, but like now there's something else on my plate I want to do. But whenever I get to it down the road, it'd be nice, but it's completely unexpected, but a happy unexpected.
Yeah, we're going to go over the whole rundown of the Nintendo Direct. There was a lot to pick apart there, or at least a lot to, I don't know. It was a good Nintendo Direct. I wasn't sure it was starting out that way, but yes, it was a good Nintendo Direct. So, anything else you've been playing, Chris?
Oh, I also found another independent video game store in Clanton, of all places, when we were out and about exploring last weekend.
Yeah.
And it's like right beside one of the pawn stores that's been down there for years. I think it's Q's Trading Cards. They're into trading cards and you know, the figurines and comics and everything as well, too. And we were going down the road, and my dad said, hey, there's a sign that said video games. Okay, we need to check that out when we come back through when we were whatever we were doing that day. And I went in there and found an old bunch of manuals for the Atari 5200 in there, and I bought a bunch of manuals for them. So that started me off on collecting, you know, the rest of the stuff, you know, for some of the manuals that I had. And they had two of the ones I was looking for the ones I had at the house here. So that started me on that pathway now on collecting, you know, cheap boxes and games so I can make them complete in box. But, yeah, I was completely surprised, and they'd only been there about less than a year, maybe I think since May or something of this year.
Hmm.
Brand new, never knew anything about them.
No advertising, probably. Just
they're on Facebook and everything, but we just, you know, just happened to see a sign and said video games, you know, classic retro video games. Like, oh, where did this come from? This is completely new. I didn't know about them, and you know, it was nice to talk to them and you know, check them out too. So it's been a good day or good week or so far.
I wonder for businesses if that's even enough. Just Facebook, nothing else.
Maybe so. Yeah. I mean,
but maybe that is it.
So. I guess we'll see. But
I know Rustin does that over Rustin at Retro Game. Yeah, he does
that. That pizza place we liked. I mean, I never even knew about it until a Facebook thing.
Yeah. And sometimes they just don't. That's it. They can survive by word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And technically, it is free.
Yeah.
It is free. Yeah. So let's go that route. But yeah, that's something I hope. That's what I'm really hoping. Folks go back to manuals. There's something about that manual in the book that I look forward to. I always look through and read through it. You know, as opposed
I used to,
the, to.
As a kid. As a kid, when my parents would take, like my mom would, we picked up a game and understand folks that back then you had to go into the city to go get, you know, where I live right now, you couldn't do that. You had to go up to the Toys R Us, which was up here at the here in Montgomery. So it's like
a big
20
box store. Yeah.
20
oh,
minute,
yeah, that brings back memories.
Yeah, 20-25 minute drive up here just to get you know, the newest game that's coming out. You couldn't wait for it at Walmart or whatever the case may be. So anytime we picked up a game at Toys R Us or anything like that, mm-hmm. where they're driving, I'm reading the manual on the way home.
Right. Yeah.
Not because I'm learning how to play. Well, I am, actually.
Yeah, you are.
You are.
You are.
Yeah, that's exactly how you learned how to play, was that right there, because they didn't do tutorials.
Yeah, there was no in-game tutorial back then.
Interesting.
Which is now the standard, basically.
It really is, yeah.
The standard is an in-game tutorial.
Yeah, you just turn it on. Here you go. Figure it out.
Yeah. Well, you know, that means
if you didn't read the manual and everything, even reading the manual sometimes, you know, to get a good, you know, you just had to jump in feet first to get a good understanding of it, even, you know, if it has a basic description.
Or technically, if you really want to get into it, that the collectible player's guide that's next to it, the 200-something place collectible strat guide,
yeah.
You could buy it with that. But like I said, if you just had a manual, I'm good with that. But maybe that's part of the marketing thing, maybe the income they can get from it, I guess.
I don't know. You know, it's extra cost. Once you put a tutorial in-game, you don't need a manual anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, manuals were around well into the PlayStation 2 generation, maybe, or the GameCube generation, I believe, and
PS3.
Did the PS3 have some manuals in there?
Yeah,
I was cleaning up some stuff, and I found the case to Dante's Inferno for PS3, and there was the manual sitting there right inside.
Yeah, like, yeah, because I've got that game for the 360, and I've got a couple of PS3 games that are sitting at the house that I could probably crack open and see.
There's a manual.
You know, see the manuals inside.
Yeah. I think the PlayStation 4 generation stuff is when they quit making them, or I think some of them.
Yeah, they probably started phasing them out in the PlayStation 3, 360 era.
Yeah.
At some point, especially in the late stage when they were moving towards, you know, the digital store and everything else. And even now, I mean, more so obviously now, but I know it was somewhere around there where, you know, they just kind of phased them out.
Yeah. You could tell how deep a game was back then.
With the manual?
How big the manual was.
More or less.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest were pretty darn thick. They're like 20 or 30, 40 pages long or more.
Yeah, it was RPGs mostly that did that. Yeah, but you could tell by the thickness of the thing. It's like, oh, this is a book. This is a manual. This is a book, mm-hmm. a mini book they put in here. I'm in for a long time playing this thing.
And speaking of that, one of the manuals that I got for the Atari was Moon Patrol. Do y'all remember that one in the
arcade? I remember Moon Patrol, yeah.
Yeah, it's like emulated. It's just a single sheet, you know, front and back, you know, folded up in half, and that was it. But
yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's not that much to explain, but yeah, I count it as a manual. You know, stick it in there, and it explains how to play the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not much. Moon Patrol is not much. Everything in the game is trying to kill you. Avoid them, or shoot them. Take your pick.
Or jump over them.
Oh, Joe, you jump over them? Yeah.
That was one of me and Mason's favorite games. Oh Lord, have mercy. We had balls of fun playing that at the Y up there in Prattville.
Yeah, that you're just trying to see how far you can get on one credit, basically.
Yeah.
And, I think I got that emulated Moon Patrol, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of those classic titles, very simple, very easy to get into, and difficult to master, yeah. Good times all around.
Well, Chris, it's great hearing from you, buddy, and we hope to talk to you next week.
All right, y'all have a good afternoon, and see y'all later.
All right, dude, take care
now.
Bye.
Right. Mm-hmm. Hey, we got to take a break. When we come back, we will dive into the news. We'll hit that Nintendo Direct first thing there and talk about what we saw from Nintendo for the Direct, and we'll do that. We've got music here from a game called Severed Steel. The name of the
Severed Steel.
Severed Steel. Severed Steel.
Trying to guess the genre.
Yeah, like what is it, hack and slash?
Severed
maybe?
Steel.
You'll have to look it up.
I'm trying to think of it before I look it up, but
I went to Steam, I think. Well, I went to, you know, new video games released this week, and then eventually I went over to Steam and looked at new releases. Because I was trying to find something there. So
it's a single player FPS. Fluid system destructible voxel environments, loads of bullet time. Okay, bullet. See, I'm thinking sword, mechs,
right?
Or things like that, or things of that nature, but it's a gunplay. Okay.
I'll have to look at a trailer for that just to see how it is. You know. Anytime you mention bullet time, I'm like, Max Payne bullet time or some sort of generic, just going to slow it down bullet time type stuff.
Because
the Max Payne bullet time was the best bullet time. Mm-hmm. Although, the Remedy bullet time is the best bullet time. Because they've used it both in Max Payne, they used it in Quantum Break, they probably used it in Control. I don't know because I still haven't played that, but yeah. So anyway, this is music from Severed Steel. The track is called Tempest. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Here we go. Give you a video. This is music from Origami 2.
Okay.
It's just called The Overture, so that's the track name for that one. Origami 2, I remember when that came out. I remember when Origami came out. I played Origami at PAX many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's kind of Tenchu light. You know, mm-hmm. Stay in the shadows, you won't get seen.
Yeah.
Stealth action, basically, is essentially what that is. Uh-oh, what did I do wrong?
Huh. What's up? We got a tech issue?
No, it's like it's skipped over. There we go. I don't know. It skipped over the whole, like, so we have, well, it's not even, it's pointless to explain it. We have the bumper cuts to come into, so you got the music set. And then we have a space under that where we do our talk, and then there's another bumper cut there. We seem to have jumped those two things before it and went to the next thing.
Is it that year thing like last time?
No.
Okay.
It's like the mouse button pressing twice instead of once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's iffy, basically what it
iffy
is.
Iffy mouse. Right.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I need to put this here. Nope, that's the wrong thing. I'll get it right one day, folks. There we go. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We want to talk about my pen.
No, we don't.
That's what we want to talk about. what we do want to talk about is the Nintendo Direct, which happened on Thursday. Do you know anything about this Nintendo Direct other than what you saw in the document there?
The only thing I really knew about Nintendo Direct, there was only pretty much one game
that
got my interest.
Of course.
You know me with
No, let's go ahead and talk about it because we need to.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the fact that they revealed. Well, I say they revealed, but they showed Bayonetta 3.
They showed Bayonetta 3. Yeah. And it's still exclusive to Nintendo consoles because they put up the money for it. So that's what they get. But I was saying beforehand that if you know me about gaming and whatnot, I can't justify buying a console for just one title.
I
need more than that.
I know.
So although Bayonetta is a game that I would love to play. I mean, I would love to play it too, but it's on a console. I'm not going to get because it's the only game on there that I want to play.
Oh, you can play it on the Switch.
Yeah, but no. Not enough. One title is not
so
enough.
So it's about to have two games that you want to play.
Still not enough.
Still not enough.
Still
I
not
get
enough.
It.
Yeah.
But in about 30 years... You'll have Bayonetta 1 through 6.
Yeah. Let me know when the Bayonetta collection comes out, and I'll be the first to pick it up. Make it that collector's edition that comes with that full-size Scarborough Fair like that we did in Australia before they canceled it, which was the worst. I think that had to be the worst collector's edition release of all time, the Bayonetta collector's edition, where they just released it only in a country that banned the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was the first one, right?
Yeah. Bayonetta, the first one came with the full-size Scarborough Fair, the weapons that Bayonetta uses in the game. And released in Australia, and Australia banned the game.
Mm-hmm.
So severely limited way to get the game. Well, it made a killing for the folks who probably did get one or two and put it on eBay or something. They probably made a killing. But for the rest of us, just out of luck.
Yeah.
Isn't this the game? Where she's dancing.
Yeah.
And I commented on that.
Yeah.
And you said that RJ.
I was like, oh, yeah, RJ's down. Well, I said this is very. First, I had to let her know this is a Japanese game. This is a very Japanese game.
Yeah. And Japanese is going to do what they're going to do. Forget Twitter and Facebook
so
and all the.
While her dancing doesn't make sense to you, or
just,
really anybody else playing it.
I was surprised that it was like all of a sudden she just broke out and. To this dance.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't mean you as in you. Yeah. I just mean you as in like all of it. While we may not understand that, it makes sense in the game, I guess. But yeah.
She's been doing it since ever. If you ever see the original Bayonetta, heck, there was response like you have with the way she walked.
Yeah.
That got people's attention
I know.
In that game.
Yeah. No, it was...
She's a little... extravagant.
Yeah.
We'll just put it that way.
Just a little extra. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and, you know.
Nothing wrong with that.
The camera goes a long way to Well, I say actually, no, the camera doesn't go a long way for it. It's very blatant with the angles that it decides to take whenever you're, you know, it goes into any kind of a cinematic or any kind of, you know, whenever you don't have control over the camera anymore because it's doing some sort of animation, it's very deliberate in how those angles are placed. But being the key word, Thar66 brings up the fact that seeing Bayonetta, you know, makes him think the Switch needs an update of some sort. And I, you know, that's, I think that was the, I didn't say this, but I was looking for the reason I was like, man, I wish Nintendo didn't have it. And I was trying to remember why I was saying that, because I thought, well, if anybody else had the rights, or if nobody had the rights and they were just doing this through like an EA thing or any kind of publishing other, however the first game was published, Capcom?
Sega.
Sega.
Yeah.
It was Sega. But just saying that if that was the case, that we'd have already been, we'd be waiting on 4 instead of 3, because it would have, they would have, the calendar of development or whatever the case may be, it would have been sped up, I feel. Maybe not. I don't know. But that necessarily wasn't it. It was exactly what he says, is that I'm seeing Bayonetta 3 looking like Bayonetta 2, knowing that if it didn't have the limitations of the hardware that it has, it could look even better. Playing a Bayonetta 2 or a Bayonetta 3 on a PS5, on an Xbox Series X, on a PC with a graphics card you can't pick up right now. I'm just saying, if it was on something that had more power to it, or yeah, you know, something that could deliver, you'd see
the visuals would have pop to
it.
Yeah.
Which they already do, and maybe they don't need it. Maybe if they keep it in this style, I don't want to say style, but if they keep it in this aesthetic, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe it helps to sell the environment, the world that it's in, or the connection between the games. They don't have to look so different. This is me trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. Me not giving them the benefit of the doubt says, yeah, this game could look 10 times better if it was being developed for the PlayStation 5 or the new generation consoles, yeah, not the Switch. You can make a Switch version that's perfectly fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just develop it for their other systems. And you'd have just a fantastic looking game. There's plenty. I don't know. That's just, that's just me.
But like I said, Nintendo's got the rights, so.
I know.
We got the exclusivity, so us or nothing.
And I can't, how did they get the rights?
I'm not sure.
I mean, can't remember.
I'm trying to think why they took it.
Right,
because
I remember when it happened.
Platinum Games or something.
Yeah, I remember when it happened.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, I really didn't think anything of it, but.
Because it's not like Bayonetta did bad.
No.
That's what got me. I mean.
But they weren't going to do a sequel. That was the thing.
Oh, they weren't going
to
do one.
Remember,
okay,
they it was Nintendo that paid them the money to do the sequel. Otherwise, okay, it was not happening.
Right.
That was the reason. So now I remember. Okay. Nintendo paid them the money to get the sequel, which is why they got that. And I guess they paid them again to make the third more than. And maybe when they did that, when for the sequel, there was some kind of contract they had where it's like, we'll pay for the next two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to fund the next two games, assuming that the second game raises, you know, makes this much profit.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can greenlight you for a third and whatever the contract. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm thinking, is that it was Nintendo's decision to
we'll
do
pay
that.
You to make a sequel, please.
Nobody else was stepping in. Yeah. Which I bet they regret. I regret that nobody else stepped in. But we'd have never had it without Nintendo. I remember this.
If it weren't for them, it wouldn't have existed.
Right, because I remember you and I talking about this, because you're like, I just can't get it for one system.
Yeah.
But you said, I'm glad there's the sequel. You know, it's keeping
it
alive.
It's out there, yeah.
Because at some point, you will get to the point where you can play it.
Yeah, or if, like I said before, if you make a collection of 1, 2, and 3, that's going to be a long time down the road. But if they do make a collection of Bayonetta games, I'll be the first to pick it up.
Yeah. That was what I was even more surprised, because I thought, cutscene. Nope, cutscene turned right into seamless, right into gameplay.
Right into
gameplay. I thought, we're getting gameplay too.
Yeah,
because I just did not expect us to get gameplay for that game. So we had Bayonetta 3. It was announced. That's right. It was announced at the Game Awards in 2017. And we had heard nothing since. We got a logo, I think, or a title, Bayonetta 3. That's what we got.
Yeah. Easily forgettable, because I didn't know that at all.
And apparently it'll be out in 2022. Maybe.
Late 2022.
Right. They just said, well, I don't think it gave a season or anything like that. I think it just said 2022 is when you'll see it.
If that's the case, I'm expecting last quarter of 2022.
Yeah.
Probably Christmas. If not that.
If not, push back to February of
2023. Yeah, 2023. Yeah. First quarter of 2023. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, to Thar's point there, we might get an updated Switch by then. I don't necessarily know that we're going to get an updated Switch that's going to...
PS4 to PS Pro level update, something like that?
Probably something to that equivalent, not PS4 to PS5.
Yeah.
Probably more of a Switch to a Switch Pro.
Yeah.
You know, that because they totally balked on that name. Mm-hmm. With their update, there's Switch OLED, you know, that's what they're calling that. Because all it is a screen update, that's it. There's nothing new about it. There's nothing more new about it than the screen, that is it. You're not getting better visuals, you're getting a better screen, you're not getting better visuals. But, and that's perfectly fine, everybody was expecting an updated system, not an updated screen. They were expecting an updated system. That could still come to pass. This could be an interim to where it's like, nah... We're going to phase out the old Switches, and now it'll just be OLEDs, you know, from here on out. If you're getting a Switch base version, you're getting the OLED version.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got the Switch Pro coming out later on. Very possible. I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, they've surprised me before with how they do things or when something gets announced. So it could very well happen. So Thar, you might not be. I know. I know we joke, and we poke fun, and we don't trust what they say. But that's a possibility. Nintendo could pull out a surprise like that. We're going to go over the rest of the Nintendo Direct when we come back, because we're getting. We just got about 3 minutes left here in the hour, so we're going to go over that. I mean. I don't know. How many games does a system have to you to decide to invest? I mean, is there a number?
I look back at the Dreamcast when I first bought it.
Yeah.
There were like five titles that were at launch that I was really, really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And I got those five. So you have it. So around five or so, I could probably see myself getting one. But one or two, nah, I'm going to wait. We'll see how big your library is. I know there's plenty of titles on there, like Metroid and that Zelda Breath of the Wild or whatever.
I mean, yeah, like, there's some good stuff up there.
Yeah, but it's like Final Fantasy is good, but Final Fantasy doesn't grab me.
Yeah.
And Breath of the Wild, even though it's getting rave reviews and everybody talks about it, I mean, I've watched playthroughs and looked at it and seen the reviews and people playing it, things like that, and it just didn't get me, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't get me, so... That's not gonna move me to get the system.
No, I understand.
Bayonetta would definitely. I would love to play it, but gotta have more on it. Just that one or two, because Bayonetta 2 and 3.
Damn.
Outside of that, how much?
I know. Context is key.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you say that, because I mean, I would be all over whatever console gets. You know, if this was like, hey, we're putting Burnout 4 or whatever you want to call it, the next Burnout game, where it's only coming to this system. Ah, crap. But that depends.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they said it's only coming to this system, or if it was some other game.
I can see an exception. Like, if you were to tell me tomorrow that Street Fighter 6 is only going to be available on this console and only this console. Right. Well, if I want to be competitive and play in tournaments across the country,
right.
Well,
this is where I come out with the context is key, because it depends on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if it is the one game that sells you the system, it depends on what that one game might be.
Yeah.
I can understand the other part where it, you know, needs to be a significant amount of stuff to play for you to jump into it.
Yeah.
I Yeah, I really can't talk on this. I can't talk on this topic because, you know, in a sense, I guess I buy them because they're there, which is
collectability.
No, it's not, man. Look, we've gone over this before, but I talked and talked and talked about how I was not getting a Switch. You know, like, I'm not going to get one. You know, when the games get there, I'll probably pick one up. There I am out in front of the store, day it releases, getting my ticket. Like, I got one. I'm one of the first. That's the point. Hey, I'm one of the first. I got one. Yeah.
That sounds like collectability.
It's not, though. It's definitely not collectability.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I promise you it's not. It's not.
Okay.
I will say I probably rationalized it to be at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Or
were you just banking on eventually enough titles would be there to make it worth the purchase?
Well, let's take the Xbox One X and the Xbox. Well, let's take the Xbox One, mm-hmm. and then let's take the Xbox One X. Both of those consoles, release day of those, there were a certain number of them. Of the original Xbox One consoles that were called the Day One Editions.
Right.
They were engraved as Day One Editions. The controllers had Day One Editions all over. It was Day One Edition. That something that separated it from the pack type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me rationalizing spending that kind of money was like a collector's edition and I'll sell it and make money. You know, that didn't happen. The Xbox One X, Day One Editions had the project name printed on it, Project Scorpio, which is what it was called internally in the building, Project Scorpio. Controllers had it on there. Machines had it on there. Plus, it was an upgrade from what I had, and I think I did a trade-in or something like that and got it for much less than the retail price.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got $200 knocked off of it and paid like $200 to have it. So, But there's nothing like that for the Series X. There's nothing like that for the PS5. There was nothing like that for the Switch. There was nothing that was there for it. It was just, here it is. It's out there. It's a new thing, and I want the new thing. And that put me there. Something put me there. Something, some sort of thing in my head was like, it's right over there. I could probably get one just down the road. Of course, Best Buy is much further down the road now, but it was a lot closer back then. Yeah. You just hop on over. Got me a little ticket and then came back here. And when they opened, went back, picked up my Switch. Like, look, I got a Switch. You know, whatever. Anyway. It's just, you know, it's not a thing anymore as far as kind of trying to rationalize that. It's just, you want it. Get it. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's what you want,
have at it.
Go get it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't, you don't. Stop trying to figure out, come up with a reason other than that. Because if you get it down to the bare bones of it, that is the case.
Yeah.
As much as I talk up, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this, I'm not going to get it, I'm not going to get it, I'm not going to get it. And then that sort of zeitgeist or whatever it is kind of crawls into your head and says, man, it's right there. A little devil and angel. It's right over there. It's there. Go get it. You know?
Yeah.
I was like, if I can get it, that's great. If I can't, oh, well.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't. I'll get it some other point down the line. But no, there it was. So, yeah. Now we have a Switch. We need to take a break. We kind of went over because that's what I do, a ramble. This is music from a brand new game that came out, and I had no interest in this game when I saw previews for it, when I saw trailers for it. Even watching gameplay now, I have no interest in this game, but it's got a lot of people talking about it just because how gorgeous it looks.
Mm.
And it's called Kena: Bridge of Spirits.
Mm.
It was produced by a team who did, the interesting part is it was produced by a team, I believe, who did a fan film for a video game. And I can't remember what the video game was. It may have been Zelda. It may have been, I can't remember what it was for. But they did a fan film for a game. And I think somebody took notice of that and was like, would you like to actually make a game? And they did. And There is nothing but rave reviews on how this game looks. There are mixed reviews on how the game plays, the mechanics, the story, everything else. But the looks department on this thing, everybody's like, top notch. And, you know, the gameplay's not bad. The story's not bad. It just doesn't apparently hit the peak of,
we
like,
know what the priority was. We know what the priority was in this game, and it was the looks. And the looks are nice, but...
Yeah, it was.
No matter how pretty your game looks, if your gameplay is bad or has issues, that's what's going to stand out in everyone's mind.
Yeah, Drunk Degenerates had it right for Majora's Mask, the Zelda Majora's Mask game. They just did a little fan film that was apparently top notch. And Tharsic says there's like 15 people who worked on it. So, watching videos of it, I don't get the gush, you know, the gushing of how it looks. But I'm sure if I saw it on my big screen playing, I'd be like, man, this is just fantastic looking.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't play that great, but it looks fantastic. So anyway, again, I've rambled. This is the music from that game. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here by a friend of the show, Gareth Coker is his name. He composed this music. It was for the Mean Greens. I was looking for music when I found, I needed one more track, basically. And as I was going through getting these other tracks, Mean Greens was over there. I was like, I remember that, because we played it before. I was like, let's go click on it. So I clicked it, listened to it. I was like, we'll throw it in there. Because this is our last time of using... currently released type tracks, even though Mean Greens came out years ago, because October starts Friday.
Yeah.
Which means it's Spooky Video Game Music Month. And if new games get released in October and they're horror games, then sure, we'll use those. But for the most part, we just go back, we find, you know, the spooky game music from horror games. And by the way, it doesn't have to actually always be horror games. It can be just something that sounds like it's got the creepiness feel.
I brought some for you like that from some fighting titles I've had.
Yeah, you did.
There's some spooky music in some of the fighting titles I got, and I brought them to you.
I mean, one of the best soundtracks that early on that had a creep factor to it, especially if you just listen to it without the context of watching 8-bit animation on the screen there, is Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
That opening thing of just that's it, you know, and then this, you know, that tone type thing.
Yeah.
You could put that in a horror setting and it could work. There was another game that did that as well, Donkey Kong Country.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about that and played it, actually. I think it was one of our music shows where I said, listen at this, but put it in a horror film setting and see if it doesn't work. And it really, really worked.
I think of Alien Syndrome. When I think about the... horror or creepiness or basically tension factor. And if you ever played Alien Syndrome, you're on a ship that's wired to explode, and you've got a set amount of time to save hostages and get to the exit, take out the boss, and get out of Dodge before the thing blows up. So you talk about a game that inspires tension and or a rush of time. That the music in there, even though as simple as it was, it expressed tension very well throughout that thing. I remember that stood out for me.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Okay, so interesting. Matt was saying that the Discord audio is kind of breaking up or something like that. I'm not exactly sure why, man. I don't know how you're. I know you're in there. Let me. So, hey, Matt, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure. Can you? I mean, are we coming in okay?
I hear like every fourth word.
Okay, I don't know why.
Me neither.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that is, but hopefully I'll just keep talking like this, and I guess, yep, see, I see it cutting in and out. I don't know why it's doing that. Not sure. But anyway, we'll try and get our best with it. I was going to go over more of this Nintendo Direct, but I know you're here, and you have been playing Deathloop. And I wanted to talk to you about Deathloop. You may need to call in, dude. Matt?
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. I think I might.
You might need to call in. Would you mind calling us?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, do that. Okay. He'll call in and we'll talk about that. I'm not sure exactly what was going on there with that. And hopefully it's...
I can see our stuff having audio troubles, but there's nothing with Discord.
It's been working okay so far.
It's been
working
fine.
We only do it once a week, but it's been working okay. I really wanted to talk to him about... Deathloop. He has been playing. I think it was the next day, a couple of days later, something like that. I watched a video of it, a review or something like that, so I could kind of get a sense of how it plays or what people are saying about it, how it looks, that sort of thing. I'm gonna Matt. All right, so let's get him on the phones. Hey, Matt, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, that's much better. Hey, buddy.
Now it's weird. It's like every fourth word, and I was like, I really can't hear what you're saying.
I know. It's strange. I'm looking at it now, and I can see it. Yeah, I see it just kind of come in, come out, come in, come out. I don't know what that is. I may have to I may have to readjust the microphone settings on this thing one day. Again, another reason to get here early to set everything up. So I may have to adjust settings on this thing and see. But anyway, we're glad to have you on here. You've been playing Deathloop.
I have.
You picked it up at launch, I suppose, right? PC?
Yes.
Okay. First off, is the PC running okay, or is there problems with it? Is it lacking updates?
Runs fine.
Okay, good.
Haven't had any issues so far with it.
And you've been playing for how long now?
I can look at my Steam real quick, and I can do that and say.
Yeah.
Let's see, Deathloop, there we go. About 20 hours.
20 hours of Deathloop? Okay.
Yeah. The premise is really fun, I think. It's neat, like the whole Groundhog Day with guns.
Right.
I know, one of the people I've heard talking, the AI for the bad guys, like just the normal, soldier, it's not the best.
Yeah.
But if you get swarmed by them, it's pretty deadly. But they're not the brightest. But the way I kind of figure it, like reading stuff throughout the world, it's like I don't know how much you know about the story, but like it's one day that just loops over and over and over.
Right.
And apparently your character's been in it for a couple of years. And so if all these people have been in this like sort of like perpetual party for one day over and over, then, all right, I could see how their senses would be, the average people would be, their senses would be dulled and, they'd be, drunk and just sort of lazing around and, So the AI is not the hardest. The bosses are a little tougher.
Yeah.
But if they get alerted to you, then, you can get swarmed pretty easily.
Drunk is asking you if you've gotten invaded yet. Did you have that setting turned on, or are you not?
I have it turned on for friends, not just, I could turn it on for just anybody, like just internet invade me. I've had the AI invade me, but I haven't had any friends yet.
Okay, so we got some Dark Souls level invasion or something with some bad intentions.
The story, best I can tell, and Matt could probably explain this, is that you're an assassin, you're stuck in this loop, and the way to break the loop is to basically, I think, kill everyone.
Kill all the bosses. All the bosses in one day.
Kill all the bosses in one day. But if you die, the day starts over. If you don't kill them all in one day, the day starts over.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to do that. In the meantime, there is another assassin who is out to kill you.
Okay.
Yeah, they're trying to protect the loop while you're trying to break it.
Kind of a Mr. X.
Okay.
A little bit. Like just not indestructible. You can take this person on if you want to. And sometimes if you have your setting right, this person can be a completely other player who has invaded your game.
It could be another human.
Someone invaded it, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you said something about the AI, like folks getting dulled. So like who in the universe is aware that this loop is happening over and over again?
The bosses are aware. Your character, Cole, I mean, obviously he's aware. Julia, the one that's coming after you, she's aware. From what I've heard from like just the AI just running around, like the AI talking to itself, like they seem to be aware, like, oh yeah, you just come back tomorrow, like some of them, but other ones are kind of like, they seem kind of, I don't know, like their intelligence, like actual intelligence, not just AI, but the character's intelligence is kind of low, but it, Juliana talks about how like, these people have been here for a good while and they're kind of, brain cells are getting atrophied in a way.
Mm, okay. So
it's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. It sounds like the effect is, has more effect on others instead of the bosses and the two assassins that you mentioned. They're not as affected by the, loop as everyone else is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's, the different areas, you have like four different times a day, morning, noon, afternoon, and night.
Mm-hmm.
And the different areas that you can go to, they'll change like a little bit. You know, some doors will be open only in like one time a day, or, there's like an ice bridge on this time of day, but not on, during the other time. The environment is different depending on what time of day it is.
Okay. So it's like trial and error. You have to go this route depending on and use the times of day to get to all the bosses in one day and take them all out, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like stuff that, you do in the morning can affect, later on in the day. So if you set, this one open door and, this one area in the morning and come back to it, like, another time of day, that'll affect it. So it's an interesting idea.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know about the invading part. Yeah, that had me immediately thinking of Dark Souls. Someone just comes in and just wants to ruin your day.
Well, I don't know how it works on the Invader's End. Like, is it at the main menu where you can elect to be her to invade somebody's game, or do you have to do certain things first?
So when you first start, you could you get the options of protect the loop or break the loop. You select break the loop, and that's, your main character. That's the story that you're playing. But if you select protect the loop, then you get to play as Juliana, and, then, you can go and invade someone else's, like a friend's game, or just set up to the internet and invade theirs.
Well, let me ask you real quick. Mm-hmm. If you're protecting the loop, there's no upset. So if you are breaking the loop, that's a single player story, game, all those elements. But if you protect the loop, there's no single player to that sort of, there's no single story to that, is there? It's just you invading somebody's game and trying to stop them, right?
Yes.
There's no like, oh, you're going to find clues, you're going to do this stuff. It's not like it's two games in one. One you're protecting, one you're defending. It's,
from my understanding, it's more like, you are, I haven't done it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I only have two friends that have it, two or three friends, that have it, and you have to be a little bit, they want you to be a little bit further in because, through some of the storyline in the main guide, you get a sense of, the mechanics of the world.
Yeah.
If someone comes into your game, and tries to protect the loop, if if you get the upper hand and kill them, then you get like some bonuses. But if they kill you, that just resets the loop, back to the start of the day one kind of a thing. And so it's not like game's over. You're just like, oh, the day started again.
I'm trying to see what the benefit is for the invader then. I mean, they have to get something out of it, don't they?
They do. You get rank, and you know, so you rank up, and you get, you know, I guess better bonuses and abilities.
Yeah, rank and title and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
From what I've been seeing.
Okay.
It just seems like a fun idea. So you could like, you could get into someone's game, and you could like set traps and everything, and like play a little game of cat and mouse.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, trying to think, how long, have you heard anything or seen anything about how long it would take to play through? I mean, getting through that, how much gameplay, how much time it takes to get through and take out all the bosses?
Probably, I mean, like I said, I'm in 20 hours right now, mm-hmm. and I'm still trying to, figure out the best way to do things. Like, I've mm-hmm. taken out several of the bosses individually.
Yeah.
You know, like, and every time you do that, you could upgrade, like, the bosses will have powers, and you can, you know, grab their power and, like, upgrade your ability.
Okay.
So sometimes it's good to, like, reset the day, go after this boss again, you know, kill him again, and, you know, upgrade your ability some more.
You're talking like Mega Man? Like, take their abilities for yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting.
And, but, you know, every time you do it, like, you know, like, since, you know, it's Arkane Studios, the guys that did
Dishonored. And
yeah,
Prey.
You know, and Prey. But you know the Blink ability in Dishonored, you know, with the teleport?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have something like that in this. And, like, as you upgrade it, you could go further, and then you could, like, pause in midair and sort of, like, you know, then blink and stuff. So it's really beneficial to, you know, sort of level up your abilities before you try and break it.
Yeah, the thing that's gotten a lot of praise on this game. Well, let me ask you, how's your kicking game?
Oh my gosh, it is so much fun. I even have a character character trait, because you get like character bonuses, you know, stuff, and one of them is like you kick further and harder. You know, it's like a melee thing.
It is. It's melee, but it's a kick. They got rid of melee. Apparently, melee was in there, but the kick the kick was so good. They just made it that. They focused on that kick.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, like I'm on a rooftop, and there's a guy, and I sneak up behind him and just like boot him. And he just goes sailing. Oh my God, it's satisfying.
So yeah, that's what I've heard. The kick game is really nice in Deathloop. So you know, it's apparently a exclusive now for the PlayStation until like a year, which
okay.
I hated to hear that because you know Microsoft bought Bethesda.
But I guess that went through before.
Yeah, it did. It was already in place, and so I bet they were wishing they could have bought that out. So they could have at least made it onto Game Pass. But, yeah, it's going to be a while before I get a chance to sit down with that one, I guess. I'm kind of curious to play it.
There's it's fun. Something, I'm enjoying
you know, I've loved everything Arkane's done so far up until this point. So I'm very interested in this as well. So,
How good is the weapon selection in the game, Matt?
You have your standard pistol, submachine gun, like magnum kind of type, mm-hmm. shotguns, and like long rifle, like sniper rifle.
Yeah.
And then from there, you can get different like quality and abilities.
Mm-hmm.
When you first start the game, you can't keep the weapons.
Yeah, you lose everything once it loops back. You don't get anything.
Yeah, when it loops back, you lose what you have. But then you get the ability to basically imbue them so that way you could keep them.
Okay.
You know, when you start your loop again.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't get attached to anything at the very beginning of the game.
Nah, yeah. And you're probably not that early on. I mean, you won't get attached to them until you probably, once you get to a point where you can, you've probably used the gun enough to say, well, thankfully, I'm ready to keep this one to keep going because mm-hmm. it just got me through whatever it was that gave me the ability to keep it, so I'm going to keep it.
Yeah.
There are like, you know, some pretty interesting environmental puzzles to get some really nice weapons and, you know, you're like, yeah, it's a really neat exploring game, too.
Yeah.
You know, like with trying to figure out what's going on in the world and everything.
Yeah, I figured after me, it's a lather, rinse, repeat, like we said earlier, like using the times of day and getting the best optimal route to
see. That's the thing. You would think that you would think that would get sort of repetitive and old after a while, since it's the same thing as you go. But it's not.
Yeah, because there's too many different options to get to the goal that you want. It's like Matt, when you were playing Hitman, like you were like playing that same stage over and over again, just trying to find all the different ways to take out the target. And there are plenty of different ways to do that. And I think the same applies to from what you're describing. The same applies to Deathloop as well, right?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. You know, like you could, you know, get this one target here, or if you wait till another time of day, this one target and another target will be in the same room together. So you could take them both out, and that'd be, you know, better.
Mm-hmm.
But more challenging because you have two targets.
How many bosses are in this that you have to kill? How many bosses? In one day, how many do you have to kill?
I think there's like six or eight.
Okay.
Around there.
And you have to find these bosses by getting context clues from things that you see in the environment or things that you discover while you're going around the city, or do you know exactly where they're at?
You get to sort of discover stuff. So you discover, you know, through context clues, oh, hey, this guy will be here at this time of day, or, you know, hey, this person's over here, you know. So, you know, as you get more information, the information you get stays with you. Okay. So like door codes stay with you, or like knowing like the, so, you know, like this kind of schedule, you know, he's most likely to be here this time, will stay with you.
I think we talked about it last week, Scott. There were like eight. You said six or eight. Yes, eight. The list of, remember the names we were talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Alexis Dorsey, Charlie Montague, things like that. Yeah. It's a list of, there's eight. They call them visionaries.
Yes.
In the game. Bosses, visionaries, same thing. So yeah. Eight. There are eight visionaries. That you'll, they say you'll encounter during the game. So, yeah, eight folks in one day.
Yeah, and they all have different powers between, like, you know, teleportation, invisibility, like sort of kinetic push, different kind of stuff.
Yeah, it reminds me of the way the names were like a No More Heroes. You know, there was no nicknames or anything like that. It was just actual just names of people that you have to take out on this thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, sounds like you're having a good time with it.
I'm interested in it as well, so.
Yeah, so far.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Matt, good to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, enjoy that game, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week. I mean, is that all you've been playing, or have you been playing anything else?
I just picked up the Diablo 2.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
You know, because I loved that game back in the day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, really, Deathloop's been really kind of the only thing the past week or so.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, take care, man. Enjoy Deathloop, and we hope to talk to you next week.
All right. Have a good one.
All right, man. Take care.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Bye.
And we're going to go to break anyway, and when we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat music here from a game called Medieval Dynasty. It is the track on this one is called Howling Wolves. We'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Gas Station Simulator. It's called The Ballad of Rudy. It's the name of it. Yeah.
No, look, I know you ain't joking.
I know, right?
No, I mean, look, Bus Driver Simulator, train, what was the first simulator? Train? Something similar?
Well, yeah, train, probably. Yeah. Flight Simulator would probably be the first.
Yeah, Flight Simulator, Train Simulator. Then you had Bus Simulator, then Farming Simulator. Then you had...
Mowed the grass.
It was Goat Simulator.
Goat Simulator. Then it started getting going off the rails
at that point. But there's Lawnmower. Yeah. There's Lawnmower Simulator. The Lawnmower Simulator takes itself seriously. Gas Station Simulator, I think, takes itself seriously.
They all take themselves seriously.
Yeah. Well, Goat Simulator does not.
I'm sorry, never take that. Goat Simulator doesn't. Which makes it stand out more.
I've just heard a lot about the game, and I was like, ooh, let's see if it has music. And it did, so that's why I grabbed it. So
I wonder what's next now.
I don't know, but I've heard really good things about it. If you go to the Gas Station Simulator page on Steam, you'll see overwhelmingly positive reviews.
Okay. Mechanic Simulator.
There's that, yeah. Okay. There is Mechanic Simulator. There's a Build Your Own PC Simulator.
I think that was on PlayStation Store.
Might have been.
I think I saw something like that before, yeah. Would say DJ Simulator, but that's like all the rhythm games that we've gotten.
Drunk DeGenerate says Pressure Washer Simulator, because they do have one.
They do?
They do.
Car Wash Simulator.
Well, no, there's Car Wash, and then there's Pressure Washer Simulator, where you get out there and you get to, you know, make old things look brand new again as you clean off the dirt and the grime and you spell your name and all this other stuff.
Sam Blaster Simulator or something like that?
Yeah. Okay. My parents used to get mad at me when I would start writing my name in the concrete by the pool, you know. And they're like, don't do that, because then you've got to go over it.
Yeah.
And if you don't do a good job, you can still see the outline of what you've done.
Right.
So you've really got to get in there. Like, stop doing that. Of course, that's all you want to do as a kid.
Yeah.
You get something that you can write your name with. It doesn't matter if it's a pen.
Would you use crayon?
Or
you're writing in the snow.
Or you're in the snow.
Did you use crayon or something?
Huh?
Use crayon on there on the concrete or something? What?
No, a pressure washer.
Pressure washer.
Oh, okay, you did the pressure washer with
that. Yeah. Because we had a pressure washer, and you know, originally it was like, do the wood fence. You know, you could clean all the algae off and all the grime and stuff. And you know, of course, you could also do it on the concrete. You make it look brand new. But you know, all I want to do is write my name in it, or you know, draw with it, something like that. No, I don't do that. We gotta do it. Yeah, there is a car wash simulator. There's a pressure washer simulator. There are simulators of all types out there, and gas station being one of them. So let's get back to the Nintendo Direct. Took about a 30-minute break from talking about the Nintendo Direct.
Right.
We got the Switch Online. We're getting the N64 and Genesis games are coming to Switch Online now.
Yeah.
Originally, the subscription you do with Switch Online, I can't remember what it's like, $7 a month or something like that. And there were all these Nintendo games and Super Nintendo games that they were releasing. And now they're releasing N64 and Genesis games coming to Switch Online. This, though, is going to be for another tier of that online thing. So, like, if you want to, like, upgrade, you'll get everything else, and you'll also get the N64 and Genesis games with it. I believe that's what it was. It seems like they said it was a new tier of subscription.
I mean, I've done this before. I've seen the Genesis games on the Wii, I think, online store before. They've done that before, right?
Which one is it?
On the Wii?
Because
I remember Eternal Champions being on the Wii at one point.
They did have the old NES games, and I don't remember if they had the Super NES games. They may have.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
This is a Genesis title I was thinking about, though.
Oh.
Eternal Champions was a Genesis title.
But it was on the Wii?
I think it was on the Wii. On their store at one point.
They'll also be selling controllers to go with them. You will get the N64 weird-looking controller, you know, that thing. And you'll get a Genesis controller as well. They'll also be wireless so that you can play those. What else do we get? Splatoon 3. There was gameplay of that. What else did we get? Something called Voice of Cards. It's a brand new RPG. And it'll be coming out October the 28th. There's a demo right now. Disco Elysium, The Final Cut. They were talking about that. Chocobo GP, which is another Chocobo racer. Kirby in the Forgotten Land. Basically, this is Kirby, Super Mario Odyssey, but with Kirby. You know what I'm saying? Where it's a 3D, you just go out there and enjoy whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's
go out there and inhale yeah, stuff.
3D platformer, very much like a Super Mario game from that time as well.
Mm-hmm.
April 2022 on that one. Project Triangle Strategy is Square Enix. It looks like a tactics-type game. It's going to be coming out March 4th, 2022. It's got turn-based attacking, that sort of thing. We talked about Metroid Dread. That comes out October 8th, which is very, very soon. That is Friday after this one. The Castlevania Advance Collection.
Mm-hmm.
We already had the Castlevania Collection. Now we have the Castlevania Advance Collection, which all were released on the Game Boy Advance. That is now available on Switch. ActRaiser Renaissance, we talked about that. Then they revealed the cast of the Mario movie, which, you know, was that got the internet in a nice little tizzy.
Mm.
I don't know. Every time they put up a new actors or actresses, whatever. Every time they showed the picture of who the voice was going to be, it's like, it's not who I thought that would be. It's not who I thought that would be. Anytime I heard these people's voices, I never thought, you know what? They would make a great Mario, Luigi, Peach, Toad, of all people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
got any alternatives?
No, you know.
Did anybody think of any better actors or actresses that could do the role better?
Well,
or suggestions,
you know,
anything like that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm actually kind of glad they didn't use Charles Martinet. You know, I like that they use Charles Martinet when they do. He's good for hearing Mario, you know, giggle or say a line or two.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like a full-on dialogue movie thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have a lot more lines. I don't know that I could take that voice for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It fits because that's what he's been doing it, and it works. And so, but it works in the gaming world. I just don't know that I could take that for an hour and a half of that voice. I don't necessarily know that I can buy Chris Pratt as Chris Pratt's voice as Mario, but I'm going to have to. So, Jack Black as Bowser, Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong, Keegan-Michael Key as Toad, which is strange. I never really put a voice to Toad. And if I did, I don't necessarily know that it would have been him. Actually, it wouldn't have been any of these people. I don't know who I would have put there, but none of these names come to mind when I think about it. But then again, if you ask me, well, then whose names come to mind when you think about that, I'm not sure.
You know, Keegan-Michael Key, I'm thinking of a panicky, neurotic type. I mean,
I don't know.
I think about his role in Predators.
Well, this is the other thing. We haven't seen any of this movie either.
Yeah,
we have no idea what this thing looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the guys who did the Minion movies. It's Illumination is the company that is that is doing the animation for it. So, I mean, I trust the pedigree, but I have no idea what it looks like. We don't know what the style, aesthetic, we don't know what that looks like. I haven't seen a screen of it.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it's supposed to come out next year.
Okay.
So get on with it. Oh, good. We finished the Nintendo Direct. It's probably the only thing that we're going to get to today on the news topics here, just because, you know, ramble. Let's go to the phones and talk to Biloxi Gambler. Hey, man.
Hey, speaking of voices you don't want to hear for an hour and a half, here I am.
That's why I got you with about 15 minutes to go, buddy. What's going on?
Here's the thing. You know, you're talking about those simulator games.
Yeah.
Simulator games, you know, they have everything now, and you're talking about gas station, this, that, and the other. You know, that's kind of like, you know, they're going to have, I guess we could have used it last year, and I guess most of this year, have a job simulator would be the one.
There is a game called Job Simulator.
Yeah, there is one called that.
Okay.
You're
all
stuck
right,
in a cubicle.
All right, I got you. I understand that. Is there? I'm waiting for when they come out with play a video game simulator.
Yeah, I know that should be. No, that's good, and I'd be very surprised if that isn't being worked on or thought of, and how they can
you
make that work.
Them to it.
I know.
Where you play a video game simulating playing a video game. See, so all you people listening, you guys are the brains that can do that. Anyway, I'll let you go, man. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Take care.
See ya.
There he goes. Always good to hear from him.
If someone hadn't thought about it, someone is now.
No, that's a great idea. Someone Video game simulator is fantastic. And if it doesn't already exist, which it may, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't already exist, I can't think that...
Someone
I can't imagine that they haven't given that some thought and said, hey, you know, just for some, you know, that and giggles, let's make video game simulator.
Stuff and giggles.
Well, you know what I'm saying? They could easily make it very, 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 very much like, you know, parody, Naked Gun-ish, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where it's, or meta is all hell, where, you know, they put in all of these things like, okay, you got to build your tutorial. So you put the, I don't know, you're not making the game.
We're talking build the game or play a game.
Yeah, exactly. But it's got to be, okay, so the tutorial game simulator has to be something like, well, you got to get a job to get money so you can buy the console so you can play. I don't know.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm not sure, but I'm sure they have thought about how they can gamify that.
Do I slam the controller? Or do I toss it? You know, that sort of thing, the simulation.
Right.
Yeah.
But whereas like gas station and lawnmower and pressure washer and car washer and car mechanic, not goat, but where all those others take themselves seriously.
Yeah.
This would be something that has to be very tongue in cheek, very like clever. Yeah. See what you're doing there. Not taking itself seriously, but also not outright goat simulating the whole thing and making it a complete parody type of thing. But I think there's something there. And if it isn't already being worked on, I'm going to steal that idea from Biloxi there and maybe make some money. So let's see. We only have about 10 minutes here. What do we want to get into? So let's see.
No, there is something.
What did I have here? Respawn is apparently actually working. Well, no, they didn't say that. A lot of people started, a developer from Respawn Entertainment, the guys who are currently making Apex Legends and have made, I believe, a Star Wars game, and their big claim to fame, of course, was Titanfall and Titanfall 2.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people said, well, it's been forever since Titanfall 2. What about Titanfall 3? And apparently a developer gave an interview where he said there is nothing on the horizon for Titanfall 3. A lot of people took that quote and ran with it and said, why? Why are you abandoning this? So apparently we're never going to get. And because Titanfall 1 was good, Titanfall 2 was great. And so why not keep going with that? I mean, obviously because they've got Apex Legends to work on and all this other stuff that they're doing. But so anyway, Respawn saw this. They came back and issued just a tweet that said, it's not dead, basically. That sounds more like something of like, hey, don't say that we're not working on this. Just tell them that it's not, you know, it's still there.
Yeah. Well, his gut saying was that it's not going to be made, right? And people are going, why?
That's what the developer said.
That's what that particular
individual developer of that said. Now, Respawn as a company released something saying, it's not done. We're not done.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, okay, sure, we're going to get some more, but who knows when? Or who knows if they're just saying that to be like, just shut them up. Tell them we're going to work on it. You know, and they'll never do it.
Yeah,
so I have no idea.
Yeah. What's that total number on your Splinter Cell number now?
Oh my God, we're approaching 3,000 days.
Yeah, so more the same with Titanfall
3. We're in the 2,900s, I believe.
Yeah. I was just trying to think about let's think about the reasons why you're not making an obvious game that has obvious success and a fan following. Why would they not make a game? I think of budget concerns. They can't find the staff. Or
we talked about this. Did we talk about this last week? Or is that just from what I wrote? Because I was writing about. Oh, man, I can't remember what I was writing about on that, but somehow I tied it back into Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
But it was about, I guess, I don't know, where you put your money for games or what your experience or something like that. I can't remember what it was. But, yeah, it all ties back into we're still waiting on Splinter Cell.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, they it's not that they've let it die. It's that they keep bringing back the main character in other versions, you know. We know the Splinter Cell franchise isn't dead because they keep referencing it in Ghost Recon. They keep referencing it in, like, a mobile game. They keep referencing it in other avenues of other games that Ubisoft works on with The Division and all this other stuff. It's still there. They know the character isn't dead as far as them wanting to do more with it. So it's kind of a drip feed of, like, here he is. Remember, we haven't forgotten about him, but it's not his own game. There's a, I believe, an animated series that is supposed to be coming to Netflix. And again, that was involved, Ubisoft's involved with that. So we know that they haven't forgotten it. We know that they are not saying, hey, don't do this thing because we're not doing anything more with it. Use this thing. It's our big guy now. You go to Assassin's Creed. Go go Division. Go Far Cry. Go, you know, use one of our... Use one of our yearly releases that we do, but they don't. They allow that to be done. I mean, obviously, money reasons, but I would also think it's because they know they're not done with it. The audience reaction or reception or whatever the case may be should also tell them that they're not done with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope this Netflix thing is just, I've only seen a title card. I don't know when it's going to get released or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I hope it does amazingly well to kind of send a, but does Ubisoft need a message? How do we know they're not already working on it? They just haven't said anything.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess, if you're not making the game, you're not going to say anything about it. Because then nobody's going to be interested. They'll be interested in Ubisoft, of course. They're just not going to be interested in that game. Nobody's going to ask about it. Nobody's going to check in again. You know, they're going to say, well, you wrote it off, so we're not going to ask you that question anymore. We're just moving on from what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of ignore it, and maybe Ubisoft doesn't want that. And so they're just like, nobody says anything about Splinter Cell. Just don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Let them keep coming up with bringing it up, because we don't have to say anything. They can keep it alive. Free advertising, you know? I give them a free plug every time I post the show because I talk about here's how many days it's been since we've had a Splinter Cell release.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily help them, but I hope one day I won't have to keep track of that anymore. I'll just move on to Burnout probably.
Yeah, there's just some places I haven't gone in Burnout.
Yeah, I mean, Lethal Migraine says who cares about Splinter Cell? Hitman is similar and superior. I mean, I know Hitman should be able to fill that void, but it doesn't for me. Hitman is great. The Hitman games are fantastic. I love what they do, actually, with the way that you can tackle scenarios and everything else. It's fantastic. And it is a great filler for that sort of Splinter Cell thing. But Splinter Cell had had some co-op and multiplayer going with it, which maybe Hitman has. I don't remember. The co-op on Splinter Cell was fantastic. I felt like the stealth was better in Splinter Cell than it is in Hitman. Although, I don't know about the disguise thing, because you don't have the disguise thing in Splinter Cell, but I don't know. That kind of stealthy military thing was, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like that. And I know Hitman's there to kind of fill that gap, I guess. But that's just me. It's one of my favorites, and they haven't done anything with it in almost 3,000 days. So... a little update on Activision and Blizzard. Blizzard Entertainment Chief Legal Officer resigned. The Overwatch executive producer left Blizzard as well. And now Activision Blizzard is being investigated by the Securities Exchange Commission. So the SEC is now investigating Activision and Blizzard. The state of California has already filed a lawsuit against them for work stuff. Now the SEC is getting involved. This ain't good for Activision and Blizzard. It was never good for Activision Blizzard.
No.
And I'm not sure.
When we're going to start seeing folks leaving the company in droves all of a sudden.
People got to have jobs, but yeah. I understand. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how this is going to play out. I'm curious, but I don't know how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
We are getting closer and closer to the end of the show. I was going to try and see. Oh, yeah. While the court cases go on between Fortnite and Apple, Apple was legally allowed to remove Fortnite from the App Store while this court case is going on.
Yeah, it was like there was a whole bunch of suits that were discussing on the board, but like Epic got one, and everything else was like not in their favor or something like that.
Yeah, there was something like that.
They got one thing good for them, but the rest of it was just nope. Apple can do this. Apple can do that.
Yep.
All this other stuff you had issues about, Apple can do. But the one thing that I guess it was the main goal they were after, they got that.
They did, but it's still not over with.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Apple was able to. Apple really wanted to remove them off the App Store whenever this whole thing went down.
Mm-hmm.
But a court ruled that, hey, you can't do that. Eventually, I guess, as the court cases escalated and kind of went on, they got the okay that while the investigation's going on or while the court proceedings going on, you can remove it from the store.
Mm.
Because there is no determination yet on how that whole thing's works. So, yeah. Sure, you're free to remove it right now. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's off of there now. Mm-hmm. We got to go. I want to thank everybody for joining us. We only got like a minute left. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room. I didn't do a roll call, but I appreciate everybody that is there. Thank you. Oh, Random's in there. Hey, man. I'll talk to you later tonight. So thanks, everybody, for coming by. We really appreciate it. Here is music from a game called Eastward. We will be back next week. Have a great weekend and have a great week. We'll see you in October for some spooky game music. Good night.